Good evening. By a raise of hand, who have all read the Muscle and a Shovel book? That is a very good book. Very, very, very good book. So when he told me he read it, I was, you know, I don't read a whole lot, but that book I read all the way through. And I think I probably read it in 2 weeks or so, but very good book to give to a new to somebody who's not in the gospel. Yeah, it's nice. It's a really, really good book. Tonight we're discussing the life of Aaron, and a few interesting points that I brought out. If you have any comments or questions, just feel free to speak out. In Exodus chapter 4, verses 4 through 16, I made a point, and I think this point teaches us to only teach God's word and speak like sort of speaking where the Bible speaks. And I show how that point relates to this passage. But Exodus chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. And the Bible says, "What about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he is willing, he will be glad to see you." God went on to tell Moses that Aaron would be Moses. God went on to tell Moses that Aaron would be his spokesman. And then it says, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, 'Is not Aaron thy Levite, thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he coming forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God.'" And so in these verses, it shows that God was with Moses and Aaron, and whatever he said, they had needed to say to the children of Israel. And throughout that time, that's what they did. Whatever information that God had gave them to speak, that's what they spoke. It talks about that in with Christ, I think it's Luke chapter 20, is it Luke 24? Where Christ mentioned whatever God had spoken, whatever God had did, he did that as well. And so how that can relate to us is wherever the Bible speaks or whatever the Bible talks about, we need to speak that, you know, because like the lesson that we heard, you can hear a lie 1,000 times and believe it, but hear the truth one time and don't believe it. So whatever God teaches, whatever God says in his word, that's what we need to teach. And 1 Peter 4 and verse 11 says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever." So it's vitally important. I know from being in the church for over 20 years, or for at least 20 years, you know, a lot of times we don't speak the same thing. We don't teach the truth the way that the Bible would require us to do so. And we teach what we want to teach. with the right heart and the right mindset, we may make mistakes and teach something that is not true, but with the right heart and the right mindset, we can understand what God will want us to teach. And that's why it's always important to go and study God's word and to see exactly what he would want us to teach. That's one of the points that I learned from what Aaron had did in his lifetime. You know, he was a spokesman for Moses. Whatever Moses relayed to him, he got it from God, and he had to teach it to the children of Israel, because once we teach something that is not true, we know it's ultimately not only harming ourselves, but harming the person that is hearing us or listening to us. So it's vitally important to teach God's word the correct way. Also, another point we can look at Exodus chapter 4, starting at verse 27 and 31. The point that I made, that I got from there, is speak to our friends. And I give an example on that after we read those verses. Exodus chapter 4, verses 27 through 31, it says, "The Lord said to Aaron, 'Go into the wilderness to meet Moses.' So he went and met him at the mountain of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord with which he had sent him to speak and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the people of Israel and spake all the words that the Lord had spoke to Moses and did the signs in the sight of all the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their afflictions, they bowed their heads and worshiped." So we have an obligation to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth shall be damned." God has given us a commission to go out and teach people about his word and what it takes to be pleasing to him. And we see in this verse, you know, God spoke to Moses and Aaron. Aaron and Moses spoke to the people, and they worshiped and believed them. Sometimes we may not have that luxury of people believing what we teach, you know, but we know if we're coming from the scriptures, we know it's ultimately coming from God. So it's important to, you know, not only just speak God's word, but let our lives show what we're teaching, we're believing it. And our actions, because actions always speak louder than words. Any comments or questions? Okay. But it's important to go out and teach God's word. And an example that I have is today is a good example where my supervisor wanted me to work overtime, you know, because it was a situation where it was needed. And I mentioned to him that, you know, I had class to teach tonight, and it's a possibility that I won't be able to make it, you know. And he said, "Well, if you got a class to teach tonight, go ahead and teach it. You know, it's important that you go and pretty much it's important that you go and teach God's word." And so I just recently started that job, and that's one of the things that we have to be upfront and tell our bosses or whoever that is in charge of us on our workforce, to let them know where you stand and how you want to do God's work and how you want to do God's mission. Not neglecting your responsibilities of going to your job and doing your work, but we have a responsibility to God to do his work. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So we have to seek God in everything that we do and say. And when God says when God gives us a commission to go out and teach the gospel or teach people about how to live like Christ, is vitally important, because ultimately this world is going to eventually end. And we have a mission and a goal to go out and teach his word the way that he would want us to do so, you know, and teach it truthfully. And like that we heard in our lesson today was that a thought, you can hear a lie 1,000 times, but you can hear the truth 1 time and don't believe it. If we sit and study God's word and understand his will and what our purpose is in life is to serve him, then we need to take that to heart. We need to take that in consideration, but also use wisdom to go and do his will, you know. Another point that I got from Aaron.
Hey, Corey.
Yes, sir.
You're talking about the mouthpiece. Well, a lot of times we always think that he's the mouthpiece of Moses, right? So whatever Moses needed to say, that's what Aaron would say on his behalf. But it's really, to your point, speaking God's word. When you go back to Leviticus and, was it 10 and 11, talking about that Aaron is the mouthpiece for God. He's going to speak these things. He's going to speak what God speaks. And the things that we say, are they as if God would have said them? Or are they our thoughts? Are they our desires? Are they what we want to do? Or are they things that we're a mouthpiece for God? Our actions, are they represent? Do they represent God? Do the words that come out of our mouth represent God? Are we a mouthpiece for God? Or are our lives a mouthpiece, so to speak, or an example of God or not? And a lot of times we always think, well, he was a mouthpiece because if Moses was hesitant to speak, or he wasn't a good speaker, or whatever it may be. But I mean, he was speaking on behalf of God. When he talked to Pharaoh, that was God speaking through him, right? And it's always important to point out that that mouthpiece wasn't necessarily through Moses. He was speaking God's words. He's a mouthpiece of God.
Good point. I had a point that I was going to save. That last point, but I think is very important. I know for me, I seen. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 7. I believe that's the right verse. Someone read for me Exodus 7, 1 through 7. I believe it's verse 7 that I was looking at. But it talks about the age of Moses and Aaron.
So the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs by wonders in the land of Egypt, but Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." And Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord had commanded them, so they did. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old when he spoke to Pharaoh.
You see the ages of them? You know, their lifestyle, God chose them at that point of time in their life where to go and speak to the king who has a lot of authority, a lot of power. He could have did anything that he wanted to do with them. And they was at that age, and they spoke for God. They did God's work. You know, when you think about our life, you know, how long will we do God's work? Will we start when we're early in our life, or will we continue to serve God until we die? You know, they was doing it at the age of 80. And I think that's vitally important because of their age. You know, they could have not done so. You know, but they had that faith, they had that courage to go out and teach God's word. You know, a lot of times, I know we had an example, or we spoke about last week in the men's class. You know, we all have things that we can do to show God how we can be pleasing to him. You know, we may not participate sometimes in worship, but we can give that experience that we have to those that are young and those that are who don't know a lot, but we can pass on that same information. We see one man that was 80 years old and one man that was 83 years old living a life that was pleasing to God, being a spokesman for God. And I found that point that was very interesting for me. I don't know if that helps us in any kind of way, but I think that was, to me, that stood out, that they went and spoke God's word. And even, I think, I don't know the verse, but it talks about Moses holding up a staff. And he was well over in age, you know, but he still stood up for God, you know. Larissa? Good point. Sister, bro. Dance, Brother Clark. Sister Ruth. Oh, wait, Brother Clark, and then Sister Ruth.
The verse that came to my mind, I just kind of paraphrasing, is where it says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And these people, Aaron and Moses, were doing all things that because God strengthened them. And if we have our reliance on God and the scriptures, then anything's probably possible. We don't want to put our limits. We don't want to limit the strength and power of God. And sometimes we do that by not having confidence in ourselves.
Sister Ruth, good point. Great preacher once told me, it's our job to share the gospel, but don't expect for people to change. That was, his last name is Sanders. You know, he said, and it stuck with me, because when you think about it, we're just here to, you know, we expect for people to change, but we're just here for living out our life and sharing the gospel. God said, go and teach, go and share, go and, you know, be a spokesman for him. A lot of times we feel like when we share, they're supposed to automatically get it. You know, a lot of times we don't listen to God. Some of the times in our life, it takes time. You know, that's why when we have that mindset to go and share the gospel, then we can understand that we've done our part. It's up to that individual to accept God's word. And I think that passage, I wish I had my Bible because I could have been turning through the pages, but I took my own notes. think it's in John, where Christ talks about, he said, you know, what the Father had spoke to him, how to speak and how and what to say. That's what he did as well. And it'll come to me eventually, but not at this moment. But the point is, speak where the Bible speak and be silent where the Bible is silent. We need to, that's why it's important to study the scriptures to make sure whatever we're teaching is not something that God would want us to teach.
Moses as the God to Pharaoh. That was the only way that Pharaoh could know God, was through Moses. Of course, Pharaoh was to reject God by rejecting Moses. But it reminds me of, and I'm not sure if this is where you were headed, the passage you were thinking of, but the Great Commission and, well, the commissioning of the disciples in Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus sends out his disciples, and it talks to them about how they will talk to the people how they will present the gospel to the people that they encounter. And as he's concluding that passage in Matthew chapter 10, in starting verse 40, he says, "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." And so I think the same thing is true of us today. Just as it was true when Jesus sent out his disciples, he told them that whoever receives them receives Jesus. Reminds me so much of the way that God made Moses, Elohim, to Pharaoh. And I think in the same way, he has made us Elohim to the world. He's made us the only God that the world will ever know.
Very good point.
Excellent. A lot of people are like, well, Aaron's kind of hard to study because there's not much on him, but obviously there's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
You can't untie, well, I guess you can because Moses went to the mount. Having fun down at the camp, but so they're separated there. But Moses and Aaron are tied together. Moses, and I think about the excuses I've heard before about God's sense of humor. And so when Moses says, "I'm not able to do this. I'm not able to speak. I'm old. I can't do what. I don't have the ability." And what he really wants to do is not do it. Right? Go get somebody else. And a lot of times we don't want to do those things. Go get somebody else. We always say, go get somebody younger. Go get somebody more energy. Go get somebody that better skill set than me. Go get somebody that. So God's like, okay, I'll go get you a sidekick. And he go gets somebody that's older than him. And I always wonder what Moses is like, looking at Aaron, like, what? You're supposed to go get this young buck, to do this work for you, God. And you went and got this guy? And it makes Moses, I wonder, I hope to live in a fashion I can ask this one day. What was the reaction of Moses when he looks at him? Does it click that it's not me? He's needs Moses, kind of what Nolan's talking about, to be that mouthpiece, to be the Elohim, to be, then I'm not going to do it. It doesn't matter the age. I can have a barren 90-year-old woman that I have to see through Christ. I can do these things. And it comes to the realization that it's not Moses that he needed, so to speak, right? That it was God's ability. He will use any instrument. Am I willing to be that instrument for him? Because his will is going to happen. Do I want to be that instrument? I would like to have been there. Because he's thinking, I'm not going to do this. Well, I'm going to get this guy over here. And he's older than him. It's his brother. Oh, you're kind of almost embarrassed at that point. I guess I could have done it with this guy. That's speculation. But I always think about when you read scripture and trying to think about your being there, what that reaction of Moses was. when Aaron shows up and he's actually his brother and he's older than him that's going to do the work with him.
We got about 7 minutes. I got to. Yeah, Jerry. Let's look at. We would first go to Romans 12, 2 and 3, but after that, turn with me to Exodus 32, and we'll read verses 19 through 35. I want to bring out a point with that. But Romans 12, verses 2 and 3. How do we understand that verse? I know that our subconscious, the more we put in our thoughts and our minds, the more we read God's word, it becomes natural to us. You know, when it talks about be not conformed to this world, don't look like the world, don't act like the world, you know, be separate from the world, be a peculiar people from the world. And it says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means your thoughts, your actions, everything that we put in our minds is going to come out of our mouths. So if we're filled with God's word and God's laws and God's commandments and studying his word each and every day that we live, the more it will show, the more it will be easier for us to live a life that is pleasing to God. And it's just saying to condition your mind in such a way where every thought, every action that we do, everything that we do and say, it will be for the glory of God. That's why we have to, you know, the people that we hang around, the things that we watch, whatever's in our thoughts, whatever's in our minds, that's what's going to come out. And that's why we can't be like the world. We can't behave like the world. We can't act like the world. That's kind of what that verse is referring to, making our bodies a living sacrifice. Everything that we do and say will bring glory to God's name. But in Exodus, we don't really have a lot of time to read it. I briefly talk about those verses. It deals with Aaron and the calf. You know, Moses up with God for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came down, Aaron was peer pressured into building a golden calf. You know, early in his life, it seemed like he was on a straight and narrow. You know, how we can relate to that, when we first obey the gospel, we're on fire. We're ready to go out and teach God's word. But sometimes we lose focus of that and begin to allow the world to peer pressure us in whatever it is that they're trying to do. But the more that's why it's important to come to Bible class and participate in events that the church but when we don't do God's will, you know, we're putting in our thoughts, we're putting in our minds that we're going to do what is pleasing to us. You know, I'm not saying to live like a monk that's separated itself from the world because we got to go out and teach the gospel. But what I am saying, every opportunity we get, we can go out and serve God. You know, and with Aaron in this situation, he gave in to the people because they was really hounding him and they thought something had happened to Moses. But Moses was just up there learning what God would want him to do so he can go back and relate to those. And when you think about the children of Israel, they seen so many different miracles. but they still chose to not serve God. And sometimes people would say they spoke to God, or that that God gave them a message. They actually seen God and seen his works, and they still chose not to serve him. But as Christians, as followers of Christ, every opportunity that we can get to serve God, we need to go about doing that. Sister Ruth. It's 8 o'clock, but thank y'all for your comments and questions. I hope I've said something that to help us on our Christian walk. Thank you.